Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karup, guten tag, ciao, weevi, va, kat, bang, half a day, jai, janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical, vivisection prison, killitary industrial, homeland security state, core poor nation, in the post-constitutional, cheese-covered, bankrupt, bribocratic, corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure eat a lot of the flesh of murdered animals, this is the very radical Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Radically broadcasting for 10 years on progressive talk radio stations. Oh, I don't know, maybe we're even too radical for progressive talk. Yes, Go Vegan with Bob Linden was probably the most radical program broadcast on the Air America radio network. Maybe we were the reason for its demise, broadcasting a program as radical as that. And I guess I should be talking about Egypt, right? And that we march in solidarity to overcome oppression everywhere, oppression of everyone. Maybe those who are rising now from oppression will recognize, that it's wrong to oppress anyone. And we will all march together to end the oppression of the cows and the chickens and the pigs and the lamb and the fish and all the oppressed, who are murdered, to become food, who are murdered to become clothing, like fur, leather, wool, or silk. Let's march together to free the oppressed, all of the animals subjected to cruel experimentation in laboratories. Yeah, let's do that. Let's march to free the elephants and the others from the zoos and the circuses. Let's march for freedom of speech in Egypt. And when we're done there, let's march for freedom of speech here. Maybe the Egyptians should be inspiring us to march for the rights that we're supposed to have. My guest coming up on today's show, Keith McHenry, one of the founders of Food Not Bombs. Oh, I can't tell you how many times he gets arrested. And Food Not Bombs, arrested 1,000 times in San Francisco alone. And this being the most progressive city in America, San Francisco, arrested for doing what? Serving vegan food to the homeless. How radical. I'll bet that no one in Cairo has been arrested for using a megaphone, using a bullhorn, using amplified sound, violating some Egyptian amplified sound ordinance. Yet I'm in court in Orange County this coming Thursday. As with Beverly Hills, Anaheim is a constitution-free zone. In fact, when the judge in my case in Beverly Hills in that trial found me guilty a couple of months ago, I think she basically declared the Constitution unconstitutional. It's just the Constitution is just too inconvenient to be in the courtroom anymore. And given that precedent from that judge, I expect the traffic court judge, yes, Beverly Hills and Orange County consider constitutional issues to be matters of traffic court. Yes, Mr. Linden, were you wearing your seatbelt? Your Honor, this has nothing to do with traffic. I wasn't driving. I wasn't in a car. And Mr. Linden, did you stop at the stop sign? Your Honor, I was protesting Ringling Brothers' cruelty to animals in the circus. Mr. Linden, I think you qualify for traffic school. Did you have your turn signal on at the time of your arrest? Your Honor, this has nothing to do... Whatever. I'm just a little frustrated by our judicial system, unconstitutional municipal ordinances that don't apply to me anyway, and then comes the arrest. No right to a jury trial, no right to a court reporter. What is this place, Egypt? So I don't know. I'd get upset if I talked about Egypt today when I just want to talk about Oprah. Yeah, then again, I keep getting upset with Oprah. First she tries going vegan, a couple of years ago, and didn't understand that, once you go vegan, you can never go back. almost, you know, she was there almost understanding compassion for animals, almost seeing their oppression. And then what? She turns around and gives away, what was it, mink gloves or mink slippers to her audience. And she gives away KFC, you know, killing for cash, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Then she goes fly fishing, and that hurts. And, you know, I want to love Oprah. Yeah, I want to be like every good American and love Oprah. But I would expect, you know, an Oprah to be kind to everyone, our species, other species. And, you know, I guess I should cut her some slack for having Howard Lyman on her show years ago, revealing how disgusting and dangerous hamburgers are. And, you know, then there was the Texas cattleman's lawsuit. So, okay, you know, so Oprah has, you know, has done some good in the past. And so I looked forward to the show this past week, and it's a vegan challenge. Almost 400 of her staff would go vegan for a week. Who needs a staff of 400 people anyway? You know, I mean, of course I do, as the center of vegan show business and animal rights entertainment. But, you know, why would Oprah? You know, someday I hope to hire 399 more people so that, with myself included, we would be 400. So who hires 400 meat eaters anyway, who would be taking a vegan challenge? Huh? You know, that's my very first question on the job application for Go Vegan Radio. If you're applying for a job, first question, are you vegan? If the answer is no, don't let the door hit you on the way out. So given Oprah has a staff of 400 meat eaters, we get a vegan challenge show this past week. And whom do the meat-eating producers on Oprah's show give us as a first guest? It is Michael Pollan. Yes, Michael Pollan. If Oprah did a show on world peace, would George W. Bush be the first guest? So Michael Pollan agrees with Oprah right at the start of the show that this vegan challenge is a radical experiment. I mean, vegan equals radical. You know, I mean, it's kind of bizarre because in my world, you know, I'm seeing what's natural becoming radical on the Terror Vision set as I watch Oprah. Fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, seeds, legumes, all so radical. You know, come on, be less radical, huh? Be normal. Eat slices of decomposing corpse. You know, why are you eating that apple? Why are you eating those cashews? How radical. Come, be normal. Eat someone's leg. Oh, you don't like a leg? Here, eat a tongue. Have someone's tongue. Oh, not so interested in tongue? How about a nice rump roast, huh? So who is radical here anyway? And why doesn't Oprah have some real vegan thinking on her show instead of, you know, what she calls a rock star food expert? Michael Pollan, huh? He's not a food expert. He eats meat. He, therefore, does not know how to feed himself. And some food expert, right? On Oprah, he says we need to think about the cow, the pig, the chicken. And then he eats them. Michael Pollan, this, well, I guess he's a flesh addict, a flesh-eating addict, argues on Oprah that meat isn't evil. Meat isn't evil. Look at how evil meat actually is. If it can get someone like Michael Pollan to argue that meat isn't evil on Oprah, well, that confirms just how evil meat actually is. You know, when a rock star food expert says that, you know, all the unnecessary torture and murder of animals isn't evil, aren't evil, something that causes 90% of disease, that regularly kills your family members with plagues of heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, obesity. That's not evil. Something that causes 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions, climate change, deforestation, resource depletion, habitat destruction, species extinction, energy crises, poverty, hunger. That's not evil. All unnecessary because animals are not food. It's unhealthy to eat animals, And a so-called rock star food expert on Oprah says, eat animals. Very bizarre. Very bizarre, huh? So I'm kind of wondering, is this payback to the Texas Cattlemen's Association? And then the Oprah show becomes the Church of Cargill, hallelujah, praising this mass killer of animals, Michael Pollan again, he was like the lead cheerleader for Cargill's brain-dirtying impropaganda. Hallelujah for Cargill. It is said 20 other mass killers of animals declined Oprah's invitation to be spotlighted for the killers that they are. It's just that Cargill apparently, you know, has enough money to hire a good PR firm to show them to be the killers that they aren't, right? So I guess if you kill 4,500 cows every day, you get enough profit from that to hire good PR. But Michael Pollan says, hats off to Cargill for coming on the show. Pollan saying, quote, I don't think you should eat meat if you're not willing to look at how it's produced, end quote. And then we are told on the show by Lisa Lang, the reporter visiting the slaughterhouse, that, one part of the process we couldn't film is the actual killing.
What I just saw, which we can't shoot on camera, is the cattle come up on a conveyor belt, and their heads pop out, and a guy called the knocker shoots a bolt into its head and renders it completely lifeless.
The cattle are rendered insensible to pain. That's one of the requirements. So then the cattle are stuck, we call it, and that's when the blood comes out, and that's how they die. They die from the bloodletting. So that death process takes them a minute or two, but they don't feel any sensation at all.
That was intense.
Their bodies are immediately washed to help prevent the spread of diseases like E. coli.
The process. And they couldn't film the killing. But Michael Pollan said that I don't think you should eat meat if you're not willing to see how it's produced. And no one watching the Oprah show saw or knows how meat is produced because they couldn't show that part of the process. So I don't know. Well, Michael Pollan told us that we saw what we needed to know to go on our happy meat-eating way, as he does. He does a couple of times a week. He eats meat. I don't know. We didn't see the process, so why should anyone eat meat? Michael Pollan told us, quote, there are many good reasons to reduce consumption of meat, but eliminate it? That's a personal choice. End quote. Spoken like a true speciesist. You know, the animals have no choice. The animals have no choice. Yet a corpse-munching, happy meat promoter, food expert, Michael Pollan, swallows what Cargill tells us, even though, the look on Lisa Ling's face tells us something a little different. You know, Cargill tells us the cows feel nothing. They are stunned. Oprah believes it. Michael Pollan believes it. Lisa Ling said a 4-inch bolt is driven through each animal's head. They don't feel that? Come on, Oprah. Come on, Michael. Come on, Cargill. You know, then the Cargill mouthpiece with a straight face says, we are committed to doing it right. Doing murder right, I guess, is admirable, huh? When animals are handled with dignity and harvested carefully, that's the natural order of things. And she goes on to talk about reverence for the animals' lives. And well, don't you just love people who kill animals and talk about reverence for their lives, huh? They slit their throats, with dignity, of course, right, Cargill? And they handle with care, the beheading, the dismembering, the skinning. That's the harvesting. As if they were apples, They are harvested, and they shouldn't use that kind of talk. You know, don't confuse our food expert with words like harvest, because then he might think that animals are food, and he would be wrong. Our food expert, who's not an expert on food or on compassion, or the environment, apparently. Why was he on a show about being vegan? Why was he on there? Kathy Freston did a good job, you know, but I don't quite understand why Michael Pollan was there. I mean, I could have been there, but I guess my ideas and thoughts and observations would have been just a little too radical. Meanwhile, this radical organization, the USDA, just released new nutritional guidelines, and eat your heart out, Michael Pollan. Whoops, wait, careful. He's a meat eater. He might literally do that. Eat your heart out, Michael Pollan. The USDA is the new rock star food expert endorsing vegan eating. The USDA and the U.S. Department of Health noting reduced levels of obesity, reduced risk of cardiovascular disease, lower blood pressure, lower mortality. The USDA and U.S. Department of Health, those radical organizations urging that you eat more fruits and vegetables, and but doing it also with code word talk, as Dr. Neil Barnard criticized the USDA for its release, not saying directly, but saying that you do need to decrease saturated fats and cholesterol, those code words, meat and dairy. How radical the USDA has become. So Keith McHenry is coming up on the show today. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Keith McHenry, one of the founders of Food Not Bombs. And please support the program. We are attempting to expand to be back on again in Los Angeles and in Portland on our progressive talk radio stations there. And we have to purchase the airtime. Free speech is expensive. And you can support the program with a tax-deductible donation. Make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, please visit goveganradio.org. You can enjoy meat-free nuggets that taste even better than meat nuggets. Try the delicious vegan entrees from EcoVegan. Visit EcoVegan.com to find out where you can buy them all and current news about EcoVegan. EcoVegan entrees are GMO-free and full of flavor, natural ingredients fully cooked and seasoned. Just heat, serve, and enjoy. No cholesterol, delicious entrees from EcoVegan. Sunshine patties, spicy bits, Oriental's Joy, Ocean's Delight, EcoVegan, EcoVegan.com, EcoVegan.com. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. 10 years of animal liberation media infiltration, broadcasting now for 10 years via listener support. We have to purchase the airtime. Free speech is very expensive, as our
next guest will confirm. You can donate online at goveganradio.org or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. And so today, Keith McHenry returns to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. He's one of the founders of Food Not Bombs back in 1980. And his organization engages in the radical activity of feeding the homeless vegan food. So does Mr. McHenry and his associated organizations receive, do they receive the Nobel Peace Prize for such noble actions? No. No Nobel. He gets arrested. Actually, he gets arrested a lot. Food Not Bombs volunteers get arrested a lot, more than I do. And I'm in court in Orange County this coming Thursday at the No Justice Center. Oh, that means North Justice Center, but on Berkeley, 1:30 Thursday. You can come cheer me on in my freedom of speech exercise there, being arrested at a circus protest at Honda Center this past summer. And so we welcome back Keith McHenry, one of the founders of Food Not Bombs. How are you doing today, Keith?
Great, not too bad.
Okay, so, not too bad. You're not in prison, so today's not too bad for you, right?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, and I haven't been arrested in a few weeks, so it's pretty exciting.
Okay.
My last arrest was in Ethiopia, and it wasn't really very bad, and it was just a case of mistaken photography.
Okay. So tell us about Food Not Bombs. How did it get started?
Well, back in 1980, I was going to protest with my friends to stop Seabrook Nuclear Power Station, which turns out to be the last nuke made in the United States, partially because of that protest and because of Three Mile Island in Chernobyl. But at that, we ended up, one of our friends got arrested, and to raise money for his legal defense, we did bake sales. And we had another project, which was a little moving company called Smooth Move. And we moved this family, and they were throwing out a poster, and it said, wouldn't it be a beautiful day if the schools had all the money they needed and the Air Force had to hold the bake sale to buy a bomber. And that gave us the idea to buy some military uniforms and take the poster out with us with our baked goods and tell people we were trying to buy this bomber as sort of a humorous street theater. And it totally worked. And then the very next thing that we did, we were invited to support a protest against the Bank of Boston, which was funding the board of directors of the Bank of Boston were also the board members of the company building the nuclear power station, and they were on the boards of the defense contractors like Raytheon and so on. And so we made, we were already, you know, we've already been, at that time we were calling ourselves vegetarian because we didn't really hear about vegan, and we, you know, we just naturally, because that's what we ate, that's the food we made, and we ended up organizing this soup line in front of the stockholders meeting. And we, the night before, we got worried we wouldn't really have a lot of people at it, and it wouldn't really look like a soup line. Our idea was that the policies of the bank, if continued, where they lent money to themselves, would ultimately lead to another economic crisis and force the public to depend on soup lines to eat. And so we went to the local shelter, the Pine Street Inn, gave like a speech about this protest, and then to our surprise, about 70 people showed up, and it was this amazing day of workers and businessmen and the homeless people from the shelter and all these people just talking about the bank policies, about how the economy was organized. And we were really impressed that the people living on the streets said, you know, obviously didn't eat vegetarian food. That was not what was being shared at, you know, at the different soup kitchens in town. And so they asked us tons of questions about, you know, why the food was the way it was and how it was much better than what they were used to. And so we decided that we would use the combination of food education, to providing free vegan meals to the public and show its relationship to a society that is based on violence, not only violence against animals, but against, you know, all the way up to threatening nuclear annihilation of the entire world. And so we want to draw all those connections with our literature at our tables and meals, as well as through the actual reality of our, of us solving a real need and a real problem by providing vegan meals.
So you are providing vegan meals to homeless people. It sounds like a noble action. How do we get arrested for that?
Well, the strange thing was, it was not a problem really until 1988 when I moved to San Francisco, and we thought, well, it's the most liberal city in America and this will be really fantastic and they'll welcome us there, you know. And, you know, we had read Laurel's Kitchen and all these books, you know, that were from the Bay Area about vegetarian eating, and knew that this was something that was probably pretty well respected in Northern California. And so we set up at Golden Gate Park, and there was a suggestion that turned out, we didn't know who this man was, but he was threatened by the police to have his soup kitchen shut down if they didn't get rid of us. And so we wrote, he suggested we write a letter to the Parks Department to get a permit to serve and do street theater at the entrance to Golden Gate Park. So we did that, thinking, well, you know, it'll be like Cambridge and Boston where the government is so nice. And to our surprise, instead of a permit, they sent out 45 riot police and arrested 9 of us at the entrance to Golden Gate Park on August 15th. And we ended up being arrested nearly 100 times, about 97 times. There were a total of 97 arrests. Some people were arrested maybe 2 or 3 times during the month of August. But the mayor then gave us a permit. But this did not end, really, the arrests. And ultimately, over a course of up to 1995 or so, we were ultimately arrested nearly 1,000 times in San Francisco. And then it also
persisted so hard to believe
in other cities. I know, it's crazy. And so I, at one point in 94, I was framed under the California Three Strikes Law. I got my first strike charge on the 2nd of January, just a day after the law came into being in 1994. And then I got my second strike in May, or second and third strike in May. And I also had 47 felony conspiracy to serve free food in violation of court order charges from all the times during that period where I was getting arrested for sharing free food with Food Not Bombs. And we just would not give up. And fortunately, the mayor lost the election. The second mayor, we were arrested under 2 mayors, Art Agnos and Frank Jordan. And then Willie Brown, polls, Democratic, the Democratic Party had done polls asking why, you know, each of the candidates had lost their election bids, and the number one top thing was that, well, that mayor was arresting Food Not Bombs. So Willie Brown got the idea that, oh yeah, maybe you don't arrest Food Not Bombs if you want to be popular with the local public. So he was the one that stopped arresting us. He was never really supportive of Food Not Bombs, but at least he didn't arrest us. But other cities around the country, they also would end up in similar situations where a defense contractor or the tourist industry or something would find that, you know, they need to get rid of the homeless out of an area, or they would be upset just basically by our message, and then try to drive us out. So we've actually been, it's very rare we're arrested in other countries. We were arrested, like 3 people were arrested in Brixton, England one time. 14 volunteers were arrested in Utrecht, Holland once, but the police apologized. They didn't realize what we were doing. But other than those 2 arrests, it's like almost we are, all the arrests in the United States or have been in the United States. And the biggest areas of concern have been Florida and California, where the most cities try to either make laws against us serving food or otherwise try to get rid of us. And many of the arrests are initiated by defense contractors going to the local government and complaining that we have these signs saying food not bombs. So that's like, that seems to be one of the hot button issues is that. And then we have health departments coming and hassling us, dealing in response to these complaints, and then trying to treat us as though we're serving ice cream and hot dogs and hamburgers, and failing completely to understand the safety that is inherent in the fact that we're sharing free plant-based foods, and that we don't have to be treating our foods with steam tables and refrigeration trucks and all the things that are required to be safe when trying to not kill people through sharing free meat, so they just don't get that.
So the chapters all feed vegan food to the homeless, and you have a case that's coming up now regarding a situation in Orlando. And you have a global day of action coming up on Valentine's Day. I see We Love Our Freedom of Expression Global Day of Action on Monday, February 14th. We need to take a break, so we'll come back. We'll talk about what's happening in Orlando, the case that's coming up the week of Valentine's Day. And we will continue on Go Vegan with Bob Lind and with Keith McHenry, one of the founders of Food Not Bombs. And it says it all in the name. Maybe the show would raise more money if it were, vegans for bombing, but I don't think we're going to go there, too. It's the same message of our priorities. Look at all the money that goes toward war when it could go toward feeding people and social justice issues. It's Go Vegan with Bob Lind, listener-supported. Please donate online so we can continue and expand. Donate at goveganradio.org.
Just in time for Valentine's Day and your chocoholic sweetheart, Jacques Organic Chocolates. Jacques has a large selection of vegan, organic, fair trade chocolates, the highest quality chocolate bars, gift boxes, and holiday treats. Jacques vegan chocolates, of course, contain no animal ingredients, and that means no bone char sugar either. That's sweet. Your sweets for your sweetheart for Valentine's this year come with love from your local Bay Area family-owned Jacques. Take it from a chocoholic. And that's spelled S-J-A-A-K-S. What? Jacques, yes. S-J-A-A-K-S. Look for it at your natural market or sjaaks.com.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Lindon.
Go Vegan with Bob Lindon, the first mass media vegan animal rights program ever. The first major network vegan animal rights show, too. We were on Air America while there was an Air America. We continue to broadcast on Progressive Talk radio stations only with your support. We have to purchase the airtime. Free speech is expensive. It costs us in dollars. It costs us in jail time, as we find out with Keith McHenry, who is one of the founders of Food Not Bombs. By the way, you can support this show so people can hear the Keith McHenry story and the Food Not Bombs story. Donate online at goveganradio.org. We've hidden the donate button so we don't look like, you know, crass capitalists. So you have to look for it, but you can find it at goveganradio.org. And if you missed any of what we've been discussing here today, that program is archived permanently forever and ever. So Keith, with Food Not Bombs, and we discussed that for some weird reason you feed the homeless healthy vegan food and get arrested all the time, and now there's a situation going on with a new law in Orlando and a court case coming up in Atlanta on the week of February 14th.
Yes, what happened is several years ago the Orlando government made this law, this would be in 2006, that you you could only get a permit to provide meals to more than 24 people in a park twice a year. And Food Not Bombs was sharing in the NOLA park every week. And the government decided to enforce the law, and they arrested one of our volunteers named Eric.
And the homeless are only hungry twice a year, that is? I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's this crazy thing, because part of what was going on in Orlando is they'd gotten the idea that people wouldn't come there for their sunny holiday and go to Disney World and all that if they started seeing the presence of low-income people and homeless people. And, you know, they've been hit hard by the economy. It actually was before the housing foreclosure crisis, like, really destroyed Orlando. But, you know, they've come up with this zone where all the parks downtown were off limits. And, yeah, you had to only, I mean, ultimately you could share food, like, about, you know, for, you know, it was weird. You had to get these permits, and you could be in a park. You had to move the parks. You could be in the park twice a year, but you had to move from park to park. And you know, at the end of you ran out of parks. After that, you just were done until you the next year. And that's insane. You know, trying to figure out which park somebody's going to eat in, and asking for a permit every week and all this stuff. So we're like, well, our part of our goal is to provide this information that we can redirect our military spending towards human needs, and that they're, you know, the food is a right, not a privilege, and we want to reach the public with how crazy the priorities of the country are, and we can't really do that being someplace where no one will ever see us or ever talk to us. So they arrested us anyway, and our volunteer Eric was able to actually win a jury trial of people from Orlando who thought the entire idea of arresting people for sharing food and information was insane. And then we also went to the federal courts to get rid of this crazy law, and we won there. And the federal judge wrote an eloquent decision about how sharing free food and information was protected under the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, and that you couldn't separate out, this is different than what happened in San Francisco to us, where they claimed that we could share the free food or we could have literature and a banner, but if you put both of them together, that was too strong a free speech, that it had too great of an impact on the public in seeing these two things connected. But that judge in Orlando agreed with us that our message was made as effective as possible, and we had the right to make an effective political statement, and that the government had no legal right to silence us. So they were ordered also to pay $200,000 for our legal defenses, and our lawyers, you know, were anticipating that, and the about a couple of weeks before the lawyers were to be given this $200,000 from the city of Orlando, they went out and hired, the city government hired a new law team to fight it. And so he went to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, and we lost there on a three-judge panel, but the judges of the entire circuit, 11th Circuit, agreed with us that one of the judges was not really a regular judge in that circuit and didn't have standing, and so they're willing to rehear the case on February 15th. And we're calling for a global day of action on the 14th, Valentine's Day, in preparation for this, because, you know, we hear, like, Hillary Clinton talking about how there should be the right to free speech in Egypt, but we don't really actually have that right here in the United States. You know, we've I did 2 years in jail being silenced from, you know, because of the message that money should be diverted from the military and from other types of extreme, you know, violent corporate activities towards things where we really need, like education, health care, you know.
I think things would help people. Somebody once said that, you know, if you feed the homeless, you know, you're a hero, but if you ask why they're homeless, then you're a communist and should be arrested or something to that effect, right? So.
Yeah, there was a bishop in Brazil, who said you feed the homeless, you're a saint, you ask why people are hungry, and you're a communist. And we see this problem, you know, across the United States, where there's sort of this belief that we're this very, you know, capitalism and the way it is now is just so wonderful, and everybody, anybody that's not doing, you know, they try to make it out to be that you're homeless and hungry because you're just a failure, and it's got nothing to do with, you know, these incredible scams, you know, like, we organized a protest against the abolition of what was called the Glass-Steagall Act, which was a law that kept banks from doing all the crazy things they did that ultimately led to the housing foreclosure crisis that we're seeing now. And we're seeing this huge number of people eating with food, not bombs, because of, I just had a friend come to our meal, and I was so happy to see her and everything, and she was like, but I noticed she was crying, and it turned out it was because she was losing her house. And she was eating with us, not because she wanted to hang out with us, but because she brought her family there because they didn't have the money to continue to pay their mortgage.
Right, and you're right, with the hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars that go toward the military and toward war and destruction, our priorities are way off, and you're also right in terms of freedom of speech. I am in court again this coming Thursday. I take my megaphone out to protest Ringling Brothers Circus in Anaheim. Suddenly, I'm in handcuffs. I go to protest Fur in Beverly Hills. I'm in handcuffs. People keep asking, well, what did you do? I said, you know, Fur is cruel. Ringling Brothers is cruel. You know, what would they say about you? You're feeding homeless people vegan food. It's insane. We have maybe another minute and a half. People can start their own local Food Not Bombs chapters too, right?
Yeah, this is how we've ended up being a worldwide group. We're in 1,000 cities of the world, and we're all volunteer, and it's and it's all vegan food. We fed, like, vegan meals to all the survivors of Katrina for 8 months in 20 cities of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. And the Red Cross gave out our toll-free number. The best thing to do is to go to foodnotbombs.net, and you can see we have links on how to start a Food Not Bombs chapter. And there's also, we have, you know, campaigns that are going on. One of the big ones right now is the fact that Whole Foods and Stony Brook and United, all these companies we've been working with, like, for years on, are turning out that they're supporting now a move for Monsanto to be able to grow genetically engineered alfalfa and other foods in the United States. And so we're trying to, you know, organize against that. So there's so many issues. And then also the other one that is, you know, is happening is we got chapters that are starting up throughout the Middle East and in Africa in response to this huge increase in food prices that are going up, largely due to things like Monsanto's control of 90% of food seeds and so on. So yeah, if everybody goes to foodnotbombs.net, you can find out how to, we have the 7 steps to starting the Food Not Bombs chapter, and it has also flyers you can reprint to put around your community, a sample agenda for your first meeting, and the 3 principles of Food Not Bombs, which is that we're nonviolent, the food is vegan, and that we have we make decisions using consensus, and that there's no presidents or leaders or anything.
Okay, we're just about out of time. Keith, we're just about out of time, but we love our Freedom of Expression Global Day of Action, Monday, February 14th, Valentine's Day. What do you expect people to do? How can they be involved? And we have about 30 seconds.
Well, everybody, just go to the website and contact your local Food Not Bombs chapter to see the details of where their action is. And basically, we're serving free vegan meals outside of local federal buildings, downtown post offices, and other federal facilities. Around, usually it'll be lunch, but in some cities it might be dinner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thanks for your heroic work. You know, some of us recognize the value of what you're doing, even though you wind up in jail as a result of it. And keep up, you know, what you're doing. You are one of the heroes, and Food Not Bombs says it all.
Thank you so much, Bob, for having us on. That's great.
Okay. Thanks so much, Keith. Take care.
Please make donations to this show to help make it a better world. Click donate at goveganradio.com.
I jump up and down and hope you toss me a carrot. I'm gonna keep well, my vegetables cart off and sell my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable. I tried to kick the ball, but my tinny flew right out. I'm red as a beet, 'cause I'm so embarrassed.
Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special treat, no meat in San Jose. It's Vegetarian House Organic Vegan Restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. Vegetarian House, a world-class dining experience since 1994, featuring fine cuisine from around the world. Vietnam, China, Thailand, India, Europe, the Middle East, and the Americas. Made from local organic GMO-free ingredients. Sauces, bean curd, and noodles made in-house. Powered by rooftop solar panels, Vegetarian House, concerned with the environment, compassion for animals, and your health, offers to-go packaging that's biodegradable and compostable. See the extensive menu at vegetarianhouse.us, including appetizers, soup, salad, sandwiches, dazzling desserts, organic fruit and vegetable juices. Vegetarian House, 520 East Santa Clara Street, San Jose. Catering available. Open for weekday lunch specials from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Dinner 5 to 9. Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Call 408-292-3798, vegetarianhouse.us.
Golden Lotus Vegetarian Restaurant, an oasis in Oakland for 14 years, invites you to enjoy its weekday vegan lunch buffet, 11 a.m. to 2:30. Affordably priced from just $5.50 to $7.50. Golden Lotus Vegetarian Restaurant, 1301 Franklin Street, downtown Oakland, specializing in vegan Vietnamese cuisine. Try the sauteed garlic vegan beef, the gourmet lemongrass vegan chicken. See the extensive menu at goldenlotusvegie.com, goldenlotusvege.com. For dessert, vegan mocha cake, vegan cheesecake, pumpkin cake, cupcakes, 100% vegan, no MSG, fresh every day. Lunch buffet weekdays, 11 to 2:30, starting at just $5.50. Golden Lotus Vegetarian, Franklin at 13th and Oakland, 510-893-0383. Golden Lotus Vegetarian.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Blendon.
Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Hooray for West Hollywood. There's a big movement on right now to make West Hollywood the first fur-free city in America. This is a city that has led the way in groundbreaking legislation for animals. There's actually a West Hollywood resolution to make it a cruelty-free zone for animals. And banning the sale of fur would certainly put that resolution into action. There's a website. Check it out. Get involved. Make it happen. It's furfreeweho.com. Furfree, W-E-H-O, as in West Hollywood, or would that be fur-free weha? Well, you figure it out, find the website, and please make it happen. Also, visit the website of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, sfvs.org, for information on a Valentine's potluck happening this coming Saturday, which is February 12th. It's in Alameda. And the Chinese New Year banquet is happening February 19th, 4 p.m. at the Loving Hut in Chinatown, 1365 Stockton. And here is a well-guarded secret. There's actually a way to park and go to Loving Hut in Chinatown. Right next door on Vallejo is the North Beach Garage. And if you spend $20 or more at Loving Hut, Loving Hut will validate your parking for up to an hour and a half. Okay, Valentine's Day coming up. Get your chocolate from Jacques. That's J-A-A-K-S. Delicious, vegan, organic, fair trade chocolate. And if you are looking for a realtor with the ethics of a vegan and nearly three decades of experience in Bay Area real estate, contact Judith Brooks. She is REMAX Pioneer, 888-258-6854. Let's be friends on Facebook. It's Bob Linden. On Twitter, Go Vegan Radio. My thanks to Dennis Stovall for technical assistance, audio assistance. My email is bob@goveganradio.com. You can advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. And for archives and podcasts and to make a tax-deductible donation, you go to goveganradio.org. Or you can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. Thanks for listening. Love animals. Please don't eat them. Don't wear them. Go vegan. Greetings, Bob Linden here with the Go Vegan Friday feature on Green 960. Don't miss Go Vegan with Bob Linden this Sunday at 3 p.m., although next Sunday the 13th you will miss it because we'll be preempted by sports programming. But this Sunday afternoon at 3, my guest is Keith McHenry, one of the founders of Food Not Bombs, an organization that's been feeding vegan food to the hungry homeless since 1980. Are Keith and Food Not Bombs nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize or humanitarian awards? No, they get arrested all the time, 1,000 times in San Francisco alone. Hear about an important federal trial targeting Food Not Bombs and free speech in Atlanta the week of February 15th, and the We Love Our Freedom of Expression Day of Global Action, Valentine's Day. I love my freedom of expression so much. I'm in court defending it this Thursday in Orange County. Hear about that on this week's show, as well as my impressions of the Oprah Show Vegan Challenge, which she and pseudo-food expert Michael Pollan characterized as a radical experiment. Okay, vegan is radical, eating a decomposing cadaver. normal. Broadcast of my Radical Radio program is made possible in the Bay Area by Vegetarian House, organic, vegan, GMO-free dining in downtown San Jose. At 520 East Santa Clara, visit vegetarianhouse.us. Also by Loving Hut Vegan Restaurants, now with 200 worldwide. The first one in North America in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane. Stanford students have a Loving Hut at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto, where I just enjoyed a delicious pizza. Now three Loving Huts in San Francisco, Westfield Mall, Market and Powell, Chinatown, 1365 Stockton, and 524 Irving Street for the Loving Hut near you, lovinghut.us. Tomorrow, Saturday, February 5th, is the Bay Area's largest rabbit adoption event with five groups participating. Experts on rabbit care will be there to advise you. It's 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the East Bay SPCA in Dublin. Also tomorrow at 4 p.m., free quick and easy vegan cooking demo and book signing with Patty Brightman, co-author of How to Eat Like a Vegetarian, Even If You Never Want to Be One. That's at the San Francisco Public Library, Potrero Hill, 1616 20th Street near Connecticut. Visit the website of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, sfvs.org, for info on a Valentine's potluck, Saturday, February 12th in Alameda, and the Chinese New Year banquet, February 19th, 4 p.m. at the Loving Hut in Chinatown. Advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, just like Jacques Chocolate, just in time for Valentine's Day. It's sjaaks.com. Well, you can support this program with a tax-deductible donation. For archives and podcasts and to donate online, please visit goveganradio.org.